Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Missouri State Representative Rusty Black of Chillicothe. He represents the state's 7th District. Thank you for coming on this morning to talk about the 2021 legislative session that just wrapped up last week. And from my perspective, it seems like COVID-19 was a main talking point throughout the session. And so my first question to you this morning is, do you foresee COVID-19 having an impact down the line, or do you think the pandemic is all wrapped up?
I believe that being part of the political process, that COVID-19 is not wrapped up yet. There's going to be things, whether it's budgetary or policy, that's going to reflect back to this year and a half that we've went through. I guess it's not been a year and a half, but a year and a few months. In our local area, we're back to having a little bit of a spike, I would say, and they can't, what I've read, they really can't trace it back to people. So I guess I don't know what the experts think, but from raising livestock and doing that, once you get a virus into a community, it's going to be here forever. So people will use it to their advantage or disadvantage, I believe, going forward. Budget dollars, there's several things dealing with the budget at this point in time that's went through already through our state budget or at least been appropriated, that we use the word COVID to discuss where those extra dollars come from. And as all your listeners know, there's another monstrous package of federal spending that's going to come down to states, county governments, local municipal governments, that the purpose of that, at least on the outside, is supposed to be wrapped around COVID and COVID relief and helping people get back to normal. So I see us going through it, at least on the budget process, for another at least 2 years.
I guess the follow-up to that is, do you foresee then some special sessions because of COVID-19 like we saw last year after the 2020 legislative session?
Special session has been something that's been discussed. I'm sure you've read different people's different thoughts about it. When I left Jeff City, if there's going to be a special session, the discussion was for it to be around our veto session time, which would be in September. And the focus of that would primarily be some more of these dollars that I just talked about that's going to be sent down from the federal government. But I haven't read it, but I talked to another person today that said the governor put out something that he, at this point in time, wasn't planning on calling a special session at this point. So I think that's up in the air. If there are people that know the true answer to what you're asking, there's probably only two or three of them. But when I left, the first possibility might be around September to budget a few more dollars.
So shifting gears a bit now, the information I have in front of me says that 26 Missouri Senate bills, 39 House bills, 3 Senate resolutions, and 1 House resolution were successfully completed during the 2021 legislative session. What would you say are the bills that most of the lawmakers in Missouri can really hang their hat on?
Well, there's several of those bills have great impact. A few of them, all of us would agree, or virtually all of us would agree, that they were good things that went on. There wouldn't have been a Democrat-Republican split or Republican-Republican split when it comes to the vote, et cetera. There was some things done to protect people in relationships. If they need to keep their ex-spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend away from them, there were some really good things done. That Representative Lane Roberts out of Joplin was the person that I really followed through the process, as well as Representative Dave Evans, as they went through and got that bill passed. And I know Representative Roberts says that it'll be the most important thing that he does. So that's one bill right there that may not get all the limelight, but was very, very important. PDMP, the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, I voted no on that every time until this time when it come up. We're the last state to do it. There's all kinds of facts and figures put in front of you, whether it's good or bad. That was more of a caucus split, obviously. Some Republicans saying no, some Republicans saying yes. I think overall, can be a positive, but will be a cure-all? No, I don't believe that. And my ultimate reason to vote yes on it, this one will be operated by the state, so the oversight will be with the legislature compared to, I don't know how many counties in Northwest Missouri are signed up with the PDMP system out of St. Louis County, but for sure that one doesn't have any kind of oversight from people where I live at. So that was a reason why I supported it this time and had not supported it in the past. The fuel tax is another thing some people are going to hang their hat on. And as you know and your listeners know, there's lawsuits going to come up with whether we should have been able to vote for that at the legislative level. I overall think it's going to be a good thing for North Missouri. There are ways for some people, if you want to be able to get some of your tax money back on your fuel. But overall, I think a few years down the road, as long as it does continue to be there, if it doesn't get turned over and then not happen, I think it'll be good for our roads, for our safety, for the care of our vehicles where we live at. The budget was another thing that it's probably not what you were asking about, but as you well know, that's probably my main interest in Jefferson City. And the positive things that happen with higher education is going to help North Central Missouri College in Trenton, Missouri, that's also a partner with Northwest, Missouri Western. The universities or higher ed in our state have been behind the eight ball since 2008, 2009. We had to cut a tremendous amount of money. I wasn't there, but whenever the economy went down, and we put quite a bit of money back into higher ed, into some deferred maintenance, as well as into their regular operating budget this year, we're able to do that. And I do think that's a positive for our area to be able to support higher ed, and I do think that supports our communities.
We're talking with Missouri State Representative Rusty Black of Chillicothe. I kind of want to ask you about three things, but they're all connected. First, a gas tax, as well as Medicaid, and two bills that popped up during the 2020 legislative session that deal with the petition process in the state. And I kind of want you to break down each of those, because each of those items kind of deal with what Missourians voted on. And so it's become kind of a point of frustration for people throughout the state. And let's go ahead and start with the gas tax, because there was a proposition a few years ago that was up for a vote that would increase the gas tax, and the state of Missouri said no to it. And now it looks like lawmakers are kind of going against the will of the people, at least in a lot of people's eyes. So can you talk a little bit about that?
On the gas tax that we voted this time through the legislature in 2018, Proposition D was on a ballot that raised gas 2 cents a gallon for 5 years. Whenever that was put on the ballot, or the decision made by whatever leadership made that decision in 2018 in the House as well as the Senate, discussion was that a straight gas tax probably wouldn't stand a chance of winning, and it had to do something with public safety. So that's where the State Highway Patrol part come in on the marking. And it's pretty simple. It's people went out and did polling, and that's what the polling said. But by the time that language was done and everything was done at the end of the session, some of your listeners will remember it had something to do with Olympic medal, because that was the only piece of legislation going through the House and Senate at that time had anything to do with taxes. So whenever this initiative petition, or not initiative petition, but when Prop D was going to be filed, it had to be on some kind of tax piece of legislation. So we had Olympic medals, not having to pay taxes on an Olympic medal that most people said, where did that come from? And then the idea that we were going to increase gas tax, but it was going to help pay for State Highway Patrol. And some people understood, some people didn't understand. Where I was at, the State Highway Patrol is paid out of our gas tax. When you fuel up, about 7 cents of that money goes to Missouri State Highway Patrol. So that's where the 7 cents and 10 cent increase that we're talking about 2018, that's why it made it not a lie to say that that was going to go to the Missouri Highway Patrol to fund them. And of course that freed up the 7 cents they were getting now they'll put that over on roads. And yes, it did sound like, oh my goodness, what are the politicians doing to us here? Well, that failed. And I was really surprised it failed. It failed in my area, because in my area, they tried to do a sales tax on roads 10, 12 years ago, when that sales tax passed, and I didn't vote for it as a voter at that time. I did vote for Prop D. So when this plan showed up in the legislature, and it was around, I knew that it was coming in August. It's modeled off something from South Carolina that they did there that allows the consumer, and there are rules around it, but primarily it, you keep track of how much gas you put in your car, you can send one sheet of paper in to Missouri Department of Revenue and receive the increase back. So the first 2.5 cents, you can get it back, and then you can get the 5 cents back the second year, et cetera. So people are going to be able to get that tax back. That was something to hopefully make it more palatable for our consumers out here that are concerned about putting more money on the road. So I voted for this and thought it was the right thing for me to do for the area that I represent. I certainly have people that in my area that don't agree with me and people that do agree with me.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about the thinking behind not expanding Medicaid as a part of the Missouri state budget? Because that was a constitutional amendment that was approved by voters last year.
On the Medicaid expansion that you've asked me about, I sat on a budget committee, and I'm one of the people that did vote not to expand Medicaid through our budget. We have all kinds of people that have all kinds of ideas about the Constitution. I realize that we voted and put Medicaid expansion in the Constitution, that you're talking to somebody thinks we have way too many things in the Missouri Constitution. But when that ballot language was written, the ballot language come up with no proposal of how to pay for this increased services. And there was going to be, it was going to cost more. Maybe 10 years from now it'll be free, but right now it's not free. And because of that, I had no trouble voting not to pay for it out of our general revenue or other dollars coming into the state, this Medicaid expansion. And one thing when people have, you know, in a small group talk to me about, well, what about other examples like that? Well, here's my other example. We put in the Constitution how much our minimum wage is going to be, or as we increase minimum wage, and what did we do when we do that? The people that put the language together to put in the petition said in there that governments do not have to honor this minimum wage. They don't have to pay for it. So that's the way they got around the idea that you couldn't force this expansion or this expense on government. And that's how it's done. So I kind of looked at that the same way when I did it. And, of course, I've got people that absolutely, I've got one person here I go to church with that thinks it's terrible for me to think about it that way. And other people think it's right. But that was a decision that I had to make that day, and I made it. Got people on both sides of that as well. But I give you the reason why I did it, because there was no funding mechanism for this expansion. And my concern is, as we make things easy to do in our Constitution in the state of Missouri at this point in time, that we're going to have more and more of these things that end up being added to the Constitution that people are going to have to pay for, but there's no mechanism put together to pay for it.
So the final piece of this is petition initiative reform. There were two bills this year that were looking to make it more difficult, and the bills didn't pass. But once again, people in the state saw these laws as lawmakers going against the will of the people, and they would say that you're trying to silence people by doing this. And I know you had nothing to do with these bills, but what do you say about these bills? What are your thoughts on them?
Well, it's all marketing, you know. Matters which side you're on, how you do that. Initiative petition reform is also something that originally and it still is, was one of the number one things that at least our caucus wanted to try to look at and try to make some reforms to make it, some people use the deal difficult so the voice of the people don't get heard. Some people say make it to where people look over stuff and understand the good and the bad of an actual item going into our Constitution before we go and put it in to the Constitution, because groups at this point, and that's what when I discuss this with groups, there are Republican conservative groups that love Missouri's ease in which they can put stuff in the Constitution. They pay money to get it done. There are liberal progressive groups that love it. And then there are maybe a few initiative petitions that really start out of the local cafe somewhere. But primarily the ones that we've seen for the last about 30, 35 years are the ones that some special interest group, normally not from our state, are trying to get passed, whether it's something that I agreed on or disagreed on. I think if I remember right, I voted for one constitutional amendment in the last 35 years, and I really hated that. I voted for it, but I thought I had to. What we're looking at, initiative petition reform, the people that have been working for Secretary of State's office as well as many other groups, is looking at a process that would make it a little more difficult to put initiative petitions dealing with our Constitution on a ballot. Instead of only gathering signatures, I think at this point, out of 6 of the 8 congressional districts, signatures will have to be gathered out of all 8. I don't remember what percentage the number of signatures when people ask you to sign at Walmart or at the grocery store or wherever you're getting gas, they're standing there with a clipboard to get you signed. I don't remember for sure what kind of change there was or whether there was any change in the percentage of citizens that would have to sign up. And then the other thing that I have no problem with at all, because it is our Constitution we're talking about, the fact that you could not get something in our Constitution with a 50% plus one vote. It will be changing it to 2/3. And I do believe when it comes to changing things in our Constitution, I have no trouble with the fact that it ought to be more than a 50% plus one. I think that's the most important piece of it at all. And it's not to stop or be mean to anybody else, but a Constitution's pretty valuable. And I think Missouri's Constitution and the ability for people to put stuff in it have been abused greatly in the last 30 years, 35 years.
All right. Those are all the questions I have for you. Thank you for coming on this morning. Once again, that was Missouri State Representative Rusty Black of Chillicothe. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.